dying blood bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I've been set free. Oh, I'm blood bond.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from my home on beautiful Bull Shoals Lake. And I'm looking out the window, watching the birds and the lake and talking about, things that are happening in this world even as we speak. And I've been explaining to you about something very supernatural that happened at a place when we were in Israel, June 12th it happened. You can read my blog. Go to billybrim.org, and there you can read my blog posted June 13, in which I tell the story of this supernatural thing, why it was even supernatural that we were at the spot in the first place. We're at this overlook looking into Syria. Ronnie Levy, our Jewish partner and friend, is about to come up, and you're going to see him. We posted right on our webpage. You just see it right away. He begins to talk about a famous battle that took place there. And suddenly we hear a loud boom and artillery. And Ronnie said, that is someone fighting against Syrian troops. How far away, someone asked. About 20 miles. We learned that night that al-Nusra, the very same terrorist group that had kidnapped the Fijians, al-Nusra had attacked a Syrian Druze village near Israel's border. These Islamic terrorist groups want to destroy all peoples who are not like them, just as Muhammad did. Muhammad attacked the villages of the Arabian Peninsula. He came on up through what has been known as Palestine. He came on up through all the way to Iran, and he preached his religion with the sword. He held a knife to their throats, and he said, you accept this religion or you die. And so that is called the Holy War. Is called jihad. I learned that night when we went back to our room what exactly the boom was. There had been an attack by the al-Nusra front on a Druze village, D-R-U-Z-E. We explained yesterday about who these Druze people are, how they are a group of people. They sprang out of Islam. And they say that Jethro, it's not really true, but they say that Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, is their prophet. So they have, the Druze people have developed their own kind of an esoteric religion. It's known only by the ones that wear, the men that wear the white hats. I'm reading now from the Wikipedia. They're an esoteric group originating from the Near East who self-identify as Unitarians. Although dwarfed by other larger communities, the Druze community played an important role in shaping the history of the Levant and continues to play a large political role there. However, as an ethnic and religious minority in every country in which they live, they have frequently experienced persecution. Druze are not considered to be Muslims and are often labeled as infidels by the Shia, by the Sunni, and others. Recently, Druze have been targeted, this is from the Wikipedia, have been targeted by the Islamic State of Iraq, the Daesh, the ISIL, the Levant, and Al-Qaeda in order to cleanse Syria and its neighboring countries of non-Islamic influence. So they're after the Druze, just as they've killed certain villages and wiped them out of other religions and Christians, and they're after Christians, they're after the Druze. Social customs differ markedly from those of Muslims or Christians, and they are known to form a close-knit group, cohesive community, but they also integrate fully into their adopted homelands. For instance, they were divided between Syria, Lebanon, and Israel. Those in Syria, they never leave their village. They have to stay close to that village. When I first met the Druze, and I've been very close to them, the women never left their villages. Never. Except to another Druze village. Now there's a little bit more travel between them. But I've had a long association with the Druze. Our many visits with the Israeli Druze, we stayed overnight in their homes. I used to take my tours there, but they began when I was a student at Opan Akiva, and they occurred under the guiding hand of the founder of that school, Shulamit Katznelson. The Druze I know live on the Golan in Israel, and their lives were vastly improved when Syria lost the rule over them and the Golan came into Israeli hands. We used to take our tours there, and we would go to the home of the office of Muksain Abu Salah. Muksain Abu Salah was the head over five villages. And I've been to his home, know his wife, his children. He's a dear man. And when I heard about the tragedy, remember the loud boom? We heard on the news that night that in the Assyrian Druze village, one of these terrorist groups had attacked them with the idea of wiping them out. And 24 people had been killed. So when I heard about the tragedy, something in me wanted to contact an old Druze friend that I'd not seen for 16 years. For many years, Shulamit, who knew it was important for Israel's relationship with the Druze, took us as a sort of American ambassadors to this people. For at the time, they were being heavily courted by a Russian communist influence just across the Syrian border in their backyards. It's a long and eventful and exciting story, but I hadn't seen him in 16 years. It's kind of a funny story, but don't have time to tell it now. And so I began to try to find Muksain Abu Salah. Through a very supernatural thread of coincidences, this happened. I said to Guy, our guide, I want to go to the Druzim. I know they feel that they're one people, one soul. If they've been attacked in Syria, they feel they've been attacked in Israel. I want to find Muksain. But I don't have his number. I just only know that he lived in a certain village. So we went to, he said, well, you know, I took some people up to the Druze, a small group, and I wanted to take them to, the Druze are famous for falafels, wonderful food. I wanted to take them to a good restaurant, and I took them to one. It was a tourist trap. So he said, I just saw this man on the street, my guide said, and I asked him, do you know where we could get a really good falafel? And he said, sure. Up there at my brother's place, my brother-in-law, I think it was, that restaurant right down the street. So my friend went there, this guide, he's always looking for ways to make his tours the best tours. So he went and he asked them for, his name and address and telephone number. He said, you know, I've got the telephone number of that man at that restaurant. It's a large restaurant. He said, I'll call him and see if he can feed us 137 tomorrow. So he called him, and when he called him to see if he could feed us, he said to the restaurant owner, Guy, my guide said, do you happen to know Muksain Abu Salah, a man named Muksain Abu Salah? And this restaurant owner paused for a moment. He said, do I know him? He said, I'm sitting in his living room right now. Of course, the call had been on a cell phone. So he told Muksain this lady wanted to see him from America. She'd known him back in the days of Shulamit. Muksain said, I can't remember her name, but I'll come. I'll come to the restaurant. So the next day, we were there. And you can see him. We put up the clip. Oh, such a dear man. He was so glad to see me. He recognized me when he saw my face. He gave me big hugs and kisses. And I, like the people of the Middle East, you know, kiss you on each cheek. And he was so glad to see us and so glad that we're for him. And I asked him to share with our people. So right there in the restaurant, he began to share. And when I knew him, he only wore a business suit. But now he's got the white hair. He's become an elder, the white headdress and the black robes. And he told me that some months back, ISIL, which they call Daesh, had attacked another Druze village in Syria. And they had abducted 40 people and gave them 24 hours to convert. They tortured and killed them when they would not convert. Some they beheaded. The attack yesterday was on a Druze village in Syria, and it was held off by the Druzim. Muksain Abu Salah was pleased when we talked to him that General Ya'alon from Israel had said, we're going to stand with the Druze. I ask him about Syria. I ask him what's going on there and Assad. What does he really control? He said to me, Syria is no more. When I asked what territory was in Assad's hands, he said, a circle around Damascus and a corridor to Assad's hometown. Mukhsin told me that the strong forces fighting in Syria's so-called civil war are the rebel groups and various terrorist groups fighting against Assad's Syrian forces. Assad's forces are weak. He's almost defeated. But the forces backing him, strengthening him, are totally Iranian. Iran is backing Assad. The Iranian army, their forces, their guard, and the Iranian-backed terrorist group Hezbollah. But they too have spent men. That's Iran has spent much money, men. They've lost men. They've lost artillery and munitions in doing so. And they're much less strong than they are now. If the sanctions are lifted on Iran, that's why it's such a terrible deal, $50 billion will immediately be released into Iran's coffers. Another $100 billion will follow. These monies will be used to strengthen Iran and its influence in Syria, as well as in all the Middle East. These monies, are you kidding? Do you think Iran's going to use them for peaceful purposes? No. They're going to take the monies that are released to them. They're going to put it into their own forces. They're going to put it into Hezbollah. And they're going to lie and do that. And then they're aiming to take over Syria. Even if they back up Assad and he doesn't fall and the money falls into their hands and they say, well, Assad, they're still the bosses. They're still going to be bossing Assad. If Assad doesn't stay and they just take over Iran by themselves, then you have Iran right on the border of Israel. You already have them through the Hezbollah on the southern border. And I listened yesterday that Israel is moving their iron domes. They're moving them up to their northern border because they suspect that if this Iranian deal is signed, the monies will go to strengthen Hezbollah, and then right on their northern border is going to be Syria. So that would mean that the next missiles that rain down on them would be much more sophisticated than what's been coming from Hamas. They would be much more sophisticated, and they would need the Iron Dome on the northern border. We need to do everything we can. This is not political. This is spiritual. Everything's spiritual now. And so we need to do everything we can to call our congresspeople, call our senators, our representatives, and say, vote against this terrible Iranian deal. Now, we have, we're doing that because the United States of America, we don't want them judged. You can get this week from us my little book I put out with all the scriptures, how the judgment of the nations are going to be for how they treat Israel. That's a little small book. It'll be a tiny little price, I don't know what. And you can call and find out. And the other book is Jihad, the Holy War. This is a book I did in 1980 with Lester Sumrall. I'm going to talk to you about that next week. So call 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447 to get your little book or the book Jihad. This is Billy Brim saying shalom, shalom. Until next time.